The roots of the American Mother's Day can be traced back to Julia Ward Howe. She was a mother, a feminist, abolitionist, and she was a Unitarian who belonged to a church in Boston, the Church of the Disciples. In 1870, Julia Ward Howe wrote a Mother's Day proclamation, which she encouraged mothers around the world to unite for peace. And 3 years later, she advocated for a Mother's Peace Day, a day when mothers would gather to work for peace and make a witness. And this was an annual event for several decades. Alas, wars and conflict continued. And the day took a more private focus of honoring our personal mothers, which is good. In 1914, President Wilson proclaimed our current Mother's Day as the second Sunday in May. I suggest this morning we return to Julia Ward Howe and her original idea of Mother's Day, a day to explore what it means to create peace in the world. What does it mean to be a peacemaker? Peacemaking is not the denial of conflict. That would be naive or romantic. On the contrary, peacemaking begins by recognizing that conflict is a daily reality in human life. And this is not surprising. In evolution, the animal and human ancestors who killed most successfully survived and passed their genes on to us. So we are born with aggression. We cannot eliminate aggression, but we can choose how to channel it. We cannot eliminate conflict, but we can choose how to respond to it. So peacemaking is not the avoidance of conflict in some fantasy world. Peacemaking is learning how to work through conflict, how to work with the experience of aggression, to deepen human dignity, and live in harmony with each other and with the earth. A good place to begin with peacemaking is with ourselves. As the song goes, let peace begin with me. Now, there may be a few saints in the audience today, but most of us are in a deep internal struggle over our self-worth. We are plagued by self-criticisms. I'm just not good enough. Hair looks bad today. Should have done better at work. I'm just not good enough. And we're plagued by regrets. Oh, I was a bad parent back then. I wasted my best years. I can never forgive myself. And then we're plagued by worries about the future. What will happen? How's it going to turn out? What can I really count on? And we're plagued by old resentments that we seem to carry year after year. And sometimes these internal conflicts are quiet, and sometimes they're very noisy. Internal peacemaking is about learning to love ourselves. It is a positive affirmation. I know I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. But I deserve to be kind to myself. Peacemaking means softening those internal criticisms in the back of our head, and less comparing ourselves to others. Peacemaking means making amends and forgiving ourselves, because hanging on to regrets is a very heavy burden. And peacemaking means relaxing about the worries about the future. It's one day at a time. So peacemaking begins with ourself. And when those internal criticisms, regrets, and worries arise in our mind, we can remember, well, at least more often, to be kind to ourselves. And by loving ourselves more, we will be better peacemakers in our families and in the world. And for those in the congregation who are theistic, internal peacemaking includes deepening your experience and openness to being loved by God. Let us consider now peacemaking in the family. I already know your family's a mess. So is mine. That just comes with the territory. It's messy business. Peacemaking within a family is not peace at any price. It is not about spoiling children trying to make their world perfectly put together. Peacemaking is not about mothers and fathers giving up all their genuine wants and needs. Peacemaking in a family is about communication. Communication which leads to love. Every family is messy. Peacemaking is encouraging communication and love within the messiness of your family. I've been married 45 years. I can look back now and see times in my marriage that we were, well, simply stuck. Stuck in dysfunctional habits, in frozen feelings. I can see how my reaction to a domineering mother pushed my wife away. And I can see how the violence in her childhood caused her to push me away. And I can see how raising a child triggered our deepest issues, as it will. I can see how we hurt each other, even though all we really wanted was for our family to be a safe haven. But in time, we learned to communicate. We forgave and changed as much as we could, and that allowed us to keep and grow and enjoy the love. So today, my wife is my best friend. Today, our daughter wants us to be close to her children, though it's probably good we don't live next door to each other. Peacemaking in a family is about communication. Family members are encouraged to listen to one another without judgment, shame, or blame. And family members are encouraged to speak their truth without judgment, blame, or shame. And if we need help doing this, which every family does at some point in their history, it can be helpful to see a good mediator or counselor. Peacemaking in our families, that is, good communication in our families, takes commitment. It takes conscious commitment. Because we're all stuck in our habits. We're all feeling hurt someplace inside, and we're all scared, and we're not sure what to do about it. Taking time to communicate is the key, because nothing is more important than the quality of love in our families. Let's turn now to peacemaking in society. As I think we're aware, America is deeply divided. Donald Trump's candidacy, with all of its inflammatory rhetoric, has polarized an already divided nation. And that's just the beginning. Racism, sexism, homophobia, ableism, the list of genuine grievances is long. How do we do peacemaking in our society? Peacemaking means building bridges, not building walls. We need to reach across our differences and listen to each other. Well, this is easier said than done, because it means we must be humble enough to examine our own prejudices. We all carry prejudice. We are all prejudging other people we meet, seeing them as a stereotype rather than as the full multidimensional human being they are. And peacemaking means working to see the human being and not the stereotype. Now, this would include listening to the people who are enthusiastically supporting Donald Trump so we can understand why they are so angry and upset. Doesn't mean we have to agree. Doesn't mean we have to stop working for justice. Doesn't mean we stop being proactive about progressive values, but we need to build the bridge and not be part of the culture that just keeps building walls saying, those stupid people over there, aren't we the good people over here? It means listening to the experiences of African Americans in America so we can understand what racism looks like in America today. So it means reaching across our differences to build bridges instead of simply putting up more walls. So here's one small example. In the London, UK chapel I served, we had a project called Building Bridges. After the very sad bombings of the London tube stations and the bus, we wanted to build bridges between chapel members and Muslims in London. You may have read this week the first Muslim mayor elected in the history of London, which, by the way, is important for the entire world. Because I was told time and time again by all strata of the Islamic world in London that how London goes, the world will go. And if we can't pull this off in London, we're not going to do it anyplace else in the world. So this is a huge accomplishment for the whole globe. And people are watching in nations around the world that this man was elected. So back to our project. We organized a series of meetings, maybe half a dozen, between Unitarians and Muslims, and we tried to invite the whole strata of Muslims in London because there's a whole range from conservative to liberal. And this was going well until we hit an impasse. And the impasse was that members of the chapel were frustrated with what they saw as the oppression of Islamic women by their husbands. So a member of the chapel organized a series of meetings between the women, equally divided between Unitarians and Muslims, to dialogue. And stereotypes began to melt away as people got to know each other. And these are the two main stereotypes that melted away. That Unitarian women were too sexually promiscuous. That's how the Islamic women were viewing Unitarian women. Oh, your morals are so lax. You allow so much to happen with you and your kids. Okay, that was their stereotype. Our stereotype was your husbands are bossing you around. Why do you have to wear that scarf, etc. But nobody was talking to each other to say these things, right? So the wall was built. People peeked around the wall. So in these groups, they built some doors in the wall so they could actually visit each other and got to know each other, and people softened and relaxed. Bridges were built. So this is peacemaking, reaching across our differences to understand each other. And now let us turn to the topic of warfare, which was actually the focus of Julia Ward Howe's original proclamation. Some leaders, like the Dalai Lama, argue that nonviolence is the only viable choice today. The Dalai Lama writes, "Today we are so interdependent that the concept of war has become outdated. When we face problems today, we have to arrive at solutions through dialogue. Hatred never helps. Therefore, we follow a policy of nonviolence." Yet skeptics argue such an approach has not prevented China from taking over Tibet. And Julia Ward Howe's Mother Day's proclamation did not end warfare on planet Earth. So the pragmatic side argues that war is sometimes necessary and can be ethical. Most Christian, Jewish, and Islamic scholars agree that It can be moral to kill in a war if it's a just war. And they describe a just war with these characteristics. One side is the obvious aggressor and must be stopped. Negotiations were earnestly attempted but failed. Innocent lives are being killed and injured and must be protected. The force used to stop the aggression is appropriate to the threat, and the war is ended as quickly as possible. Personally, I'm not a pacifist. I believe, for example, that the evil of Nazism or slavery in America had to be stopped by force. And perhaps ISIS falls in the same category. But I did the exercise recently of looking through the 200 wars that America has somehow participated in since our beginning, 200 wars. And I could only find maybe three of them I actually felt were morally justified. Because the vast majority fit the words of our famous war hero and President Dwight Eisenhower, "War is the failure of diplomacy." So peacemaking means focusing our best efforts, time, and resources into diplomacy to stop wars before they begin, and then to end them as quickly as possible. I mean, the tragedy of Syria are these multinational interests not talking to each other and playing out their argument in the lives of 12 million Syrians. We honor our military. We are grateful to the women and men serving this country. But it is best that we don't send them into unwinnable wars or immoral wars. Now, if we had more time, we could examine many other aspects of peacemaking, but I'd like to mention two more. Peacemaking means creating a just society. The huge discrepancy between wealth and poverty around the world is not just unacceptable, it is a root cause of the unrest and violence in the world. And the United Nations was predicting a few years ago that by 2030 we could make abject poverty history. There still would be lower middle class and struggle, but abject poverty could be made history by 2030. There were targets, nations were signing up for the targets, and now it's all not even on the 15th page of any newspaper anymore. But it was recognized that it is possible to end abject poverty in the world if the nations of the world had the will to do it, and that would create the conditions of a much more peaceful world. And on the previous two or three Sundays, we have focused here in our service on how we're destroying our Mother Earth, the environment. We have some serious peacemaking to do with Mother Earth. But since we've covered that topic the last two or three Sundays, I think we can leave it to rest here other than to mention it. So peacemaking is not something for one day of the year. It's something for all year long. And it is actually very practical. In fact, we have to make it practical so we can actually do it. It means loving yourself more. That's just not being selfish or narcissistic. That's actually the beginning of peacemaking, is being kinder to yourself. Good communication in the family. Consciously taking the time for good communication in the family. In society, making the effort to build bridges, to listen to what the other side is really feeling and thinking. Living more gently upon our Mother Earth, and asking our leaders to be the best diplomats they could possibly be. In a world filled with conflict, may we be peacemakers. May the words of our Unitarian ancestor, Julia Ward Howe, still call us to action on this Mother's Day, a Mother's Day call to peacemaking. We join now for 2 minutes of quiet, and I'll just invite you to contemplate one question. How can you be a peacemaker in this messy world? How can you be a peacemaker in this messy world? May we each be a peacemaker.